Last week, we began to take a more in-depth look at a man named Joseph, who was one of the most remarkable examples in all of Scripture and a type, frankly, of Jesus. And last week, and it is online, which is gracechristiancenter.com. You're just geniuses. You do that so well. And last week's message is titled, Forward Facing Faith. Say it with me, Forward Facing Faith. Now, Joseph was hated by his brothers because he was his dad's favorite. He was gifted by God, and he was hated by his brothers because of that. He was obedient to his father, like Jesus was obedient to his father. And people hated him because of it. This 17-year-old kid, as we begin this section, seeks out his brothers, and they mistreat him. They sell him to traveling merchants. But get a grip on the facts of the story. He wasn't just sold one time, because those merchants went down into Egypt and they sold him again. It's not just one time of being sold. Would you begin to wonder, Lord, where did you go? Come on, say it with me. Lord, where did you go? He comes to the top then of Potiphar's servants. He's the most trusted servant in the house. And Potiphar's wife has a thing for him. And he flees and stays righteous. And then she accuses. She lies. She accuses him. Have you ever been lied about? Oh, and doesn't it feel good? No. Lied about. Lied about attempting rape. He did no such thing. He tried to maintain righteousness. They throw him in jail. At what point do you begin to wonder, did God abandon me? At what point do you really begin to struggle with bitterness? And maybe Joseph could even say, but wait a minute, I had dreams from God. This isn't God's plan. Life is supposed to be the opposite of what it is. Success or mess? Say it with me. Success or mess? I want to ask you a really important question, and I want you to think about it with me. Have you ever survived, but you didn't feel successful? Have you ever survived the struggle? The answer is yes, you wouldn't be here today. God could have taken you out or allowed you to be taken out in your teens, in your 20s, in your 30s, 40s. I won't go beyond that. God could have taken you out earlier. You're still here. But do you always feel successful?
No.
Say it with me, success or mess? Some preachers will allow people to think if God's in it, there's never a problem. If you got a problem, you must be in sin. That is not truth according to the Word of God. How many know we build our lives on the Word of God?
Yes.
The plumb line is the Scripture. Trouble does not always mean sin. Church, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But wait a minute, that's not what I'm experiencing. Success or mess? God's answers aren't always what you expect. Read that with me one more time. God's answers aren't always what you expect. Did God answer your prayer? Well, sure. Yes. No. Possibly. Wait. But what is this? Watch. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. Keep your fingers in Genesis 37. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, I'm reading from the New King James, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being what? Being evil compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Watch it out of the message. Same verses. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Now, I may have a far-sighted sense of humor, but even I wouldn't do that. If your little girl asks for an A, do you trick her with a spider? Of course not. As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. I see Ted nudging his daughter over there going, I might. No, I know you. You're at least, the scripture says in the message, you're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in what? In love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask Him. Great verse, by the way, for somebody who resists the move of the Holy Spirit. Great verse. Oh, God would never do that for me. If God wants me to, He'll make me. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says He's available. His Spirit is available. God, you wouldn't give me something bad when I've asked for something good. So, why did this mess end up on my plate? Look at each other and say, and what's on your plate this morning? You've heard the old story. There's this cat, you know, and this little boy is sitting there on the porch with this cat, and he's stroking the cat. Only the cat is screeching because he's stroking the cat backwards. Ever do that? Cats do not like to be stroked at the wrong time, especially backwards. And finally, the dad couldn't take it any longer. He says, will you stop that? Turn this thing and pet the cat the other way. And the little boy looks up at his daddy and goes, why doesn't the cat just turn around? And God sometimes says, honey, just turn around and see it through different eyes. You think my stroking is the wrong way, but I'm trying to line you up in a better way. I really don't have something bad for you. I'm really not mad at you. If there's sin, deal with it. Amen. If there's not sin, receive His grace. And understand that spitting thing on the plate, as you begin to praise God and worship Him and get your heart aligned, isn't a scorpion. And you see it through different eyes and it changes. The cat just needs to turn around. 1 Thessalonians tells us, rejoice always. Please read it with me. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Watch it out of the message. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. I know God's not cruel. I know He loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Even when He disciplines me, He doesn't hate me. He took my sins so I don't have to carry them. He died for me so I don't have to die. I get mercy and grace when I've surrendered to Him. But God, this doesn't look so good. But no matter what, I'm going to praise You anyway. I don't get it. But every time when I don't get it, God still got me. As I yield and trust and surrender, you know, the old Bible teacher used to say, 99% of the dealings of God, you have to look back over your shoulder at to understand what God was doing. Hindsight is sometimes 20/20. You look back, go, okay, now I get it. And while you're going through it, God says, hang on, trust me, and keep praising me. I know you're good, Lord, so I praise you. Now listen for another couple hours. Really important point. Success isn't perfect understanding. Success is not perfect understanding. Success is finding the will of God and doing it to please Him. Say that with me. Finding the will of God and doing it to please him, even when I don't get it. Joseph's test on the journey. Psalm 105, 16 through 22. We used these scriptures last week. I'm going to quickly give them again. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. King James says it tried him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. Made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his elders wisdom, out of the New American Standard, until the time that his word came to pass, say it with me, the word of the Lord tested him, out of the New Living, until the time came, say it with me please, to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. The word tried in Hebrew literally means to fuse, to refine, like a goldsmith, melting, purging away. There's a fusion, a refining fire, and God used this time of testing and suffering in Joseph's life, to put iron inside of his soul to be a man of strength for what God was calling him to do next. God's not out to destroy you. He's out to make you and me more like Jesus. Do you know that even when you don't get what you're going through, there are other people who will follow behind you who will need your faith and help? Amen. We comfort others with the comfort we have received. Somebody starts to share with you out of the blue and eyes flood with tears and they roll down their cheeks and they begin to share with you what happened. And you can look at them, put a hand on their shoulder and say, I know, I've experienced it too. Let me tell you about how Jesus helped me. But do you get it all? Do you understand it all? Absolutely not. I just know Jesus loves you anyway. And he loves me. And by the way, I got a church family full of people who will help you too. Now, why would he come to church? But others will follow behind. There's a scripture that says, those who pass through the valley of Baca, or Baca, leaving a well. That Baca is a valley of suffering, is a literal definition of that name. You pass through a valley of suffering, you shed your tears, and you leave a well of what you've experienced by the grace of God behind you, so others following you into that same time of suffering, kinds of suffering, will have refreshment to go through it too. Say it with me, Father.
Father
knows best.
Knows
Father knows best. Joseph has a dream. Genesis 37, verses 2 through 11. Genesis 37, verses 2 through 11. I'm just going to summarize a few things here. Joseph comes back after being with his brothers, and he gives an honest report about what they're doing, and it's a negative report to dad. Now, Joseph was the favorite son of his dad, held late in life by the wife he loved the most, and Joseph was 17 at this time. And his brothers didn't like him giving a negative report. They hated him for it. You know, we all don't like snitches. But you know, the answer to the issue is not to not be a snitch. That's a good answer sometimes. The answer is to stop doing the deeds to be snitched on. Someone say amen. So they were doing deeds that got a report. Secondly, dad loves Joseph and he loves him more than the rest. Now we know what favoritism, calling up favoritism, can do to kids in a family. Jealous brothers hated him for it, and the Hebrew word is very strong. It means they literally had odious attitudes. He was odious toward them, and they felt he was a personal foe. The brothers felt Joseph, because he was favored, was a personal foe. Dad gives Joseph a special coat. You know, we've heard of the coat of many colors. That literally speaks of royalty, favor. It was a coat of royalty. He placed this youngest, one of the youngest kids, ahead of the rest. And they knew it. And then Joseph has dreams. Watch this, beginning in verse 5, and I'll go through verse 11. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And what does it say? And they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Maybe not the smartest kid on the block at this time. Probably not the wisest thing to share. His brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams, for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Didn't learn the first time around, and said, look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. A few very simple points to hang our hats on for a personal experience this morning. Joseph didn't choose any of this. Are you tracking with me? Joseph didn't choose any of this. You can't always control what happens to you. And if you're anything like me, you like to try. Don't you? Come on. It's easier for me if you say, yes, we try too, like that, Pastor God. Just went through something the other day. Until the Lord said, well, you can shake all you want, pal, but it's happening. Okay. He didn't choose it. You can't always control what happens to you, the circumstances, people's attitudes, the favor you receive. Dreams were extremely important in this culture to these people. You can't always get guidance from a dream in New Testament. Sometimes that dream you had came from a bad TV show or a lousy piece of pizza. Dream of a giant meatball chasing you down the street. But God can speak through a dream. It's kind of delightful. How do you qualify this morning? Young men dream dreams? Who dream? Young men have visions. Who has the dreams? I don't see any of them here this morning. Some simple insights for your walk from God. Some simple insights. What dream, what vision has He birthed inside your heart? When God gives the dreams, number one, that's the issue. God giving the dream. Check the fruit. Check the fruit of your heart. Does that thing you dreamed bring you closer to Jesus? More dependent upon Him? Or does it fill you full of pride, self, and lead you away from Him? Joseph's dream could have filled him with pride. We don't read that it did. And that's a tender heart before the Lord. Dreams aren't bad when they're from God. Just check the fruit. Number two, test every spirit. The Bible says, 1 John 1, 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. Not every dream is from God. If it creates fear in your heart, that's not from God. God's not the author of confusion, but of power, love, and sound mind. He's not the author of fear, power, love, sound mind. God can guide through dreams. Test it. Is it of God? See if it lines up with the Word of God, with the plumb line. You can take it to the Word. If it's not confirmed by the written Word of God, throw it away. Right. Hear me carefully. Amen. We build our faith on the Word of God. I love getting dreams and goosebumps, spiritual Holy Ghost goosebumps, as much as anybody. But if a voice comes to you and tells you something contrary to the Word of God, rebuke it and hide under the Word of God and His canopy of covering. Yes, amen. Well, wait a minute. God told me I was to be the apostle of all the ages, and I'm going to be the one right next to Jesus on the throne. I'm going to look at you and say, you know, why don't we spend some time on our knees together in prayer and repentance? A little pride, or help me. Or help you see that might not be God's true word to you. Line up with the Word of God. The plumb line of truth. Number three, leave it to Jesus. If you get a dream, you don't understand what you believe Jesus has spoken to your heart, and if it's not sinful and if it's not contrary to the Word of God, but it still doesn't make any sense, set it to the side and leave it with Jesus, because He'll pull it out at His timing. Pray about it from time to time. Don't reject it. Praise God that He's in control and trust Him. Have you ever had any dreams from God? Come on, anybody in this room? You bet. The Lord will speak to you, speak to your heart, speak to you through things. And there's the Word itself, and church, then there's timing for the Word of God. I've had dreams and visions, I think, things God's put on my spirit. And for 13 years, the Word of the Lord tried him. I don't always see him come to pass yet. But guess what? It's not contrary to God's Word. It hasn't filled me with any pride. It keeps me close to Jesus, and I'm going to trust Him to do His will at His time and keep on walking. Turn to each other, say it to others, and say, keep on walking, y'all. Number four, share it with the right people. Share it with the right people. Don't broadcast your faith promises to those with no faith. Listen carefully to me. Some people don't want a thing to do with your Jesus. You can talk to them all day long about what God has spoken to your heart, but if you do, don't expect their cheering for you. All right? I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to keep going to church because I love Jesus, and I'm going to keep reading the Word, and I'm going to stay close. Don't expect them to cheer for you. I'm going to reach out to you and everybody else with the gospel of Jesus. Don't always expect cheering. You share your dreams, share it with people of faith who share your faith, because they'll cheer for you. That's why you're part of a church where people are cheering, and you got people saying, go, Cease, go. You know, he had a prayer request the other day about giving a Bible to one of his family members, and we're all going, yes, sir, we're praying for you. Go, Cease, go. Right? And then he comes in and gives a praise report, and we all go, praise God, just like we did it. Because we did. That's family. That's bearing one another's burdens. Share faith stuff with people of faith. Now, if the Lord shows you that something you can say to somebody who doesn't know Him that'll reach their heart, great, do it. But I'm just simply saying, build faith with people of faith, and you'll be more encouraged. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I read several things about Joseph on this section, and I agree with J. Vernon McGee, who Pastor Sherry also talked about this morning. J. Vernon McGee, his comment about this sharing with his brothers was that he thinks Joseph was simply naive, not proud. That Joseph had been protected by his dad as a kid and had been kept from the evil things of the world. And these older brothers were living in the ways of the world. And people can be cruel. But Joseph didn't know that yet at this point. And, you know, family's supposed to be in your corner, right? How many have discovered that's not always the case? Not always. So, he learned. He learned. Don't always expect people to encourage you in your faith. Number five, expect to be tested. Say it with each other. Expect to be tested. Come on, Pastor Kev, give us good news. Don't tell us this testing stuff. Tell me I'm going to walk on streets of gold and never have a problem in my life. I'd love to tell you that. Turn to each other and say, you're going to walk on streets of gold, never have a problem. Now, the other person, turn back to you and say, don't be a liar now. You will walk on streets of gold. There will be opportunity to live in the glorious presence of God. But right now in this place, He's still working it out, isn't He? You're going to be tested like Joseph was by every word He gives you. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to His promises. Hold on to His people. Keep praising Him no matter what He does or when He does it. And the Hebrews chapter 11 hall of the heroes of faith, many of them died without seeing all the promises fulfilled. Maybe it's a true word, but the timing isn't yet. Keep praising Jesus anyway. I'm going to finish with a simple story. How many know you're getting ready to go to heaven someday? You understand that? You ready? Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. But sometimes we like to think that I'm going to go whooping and hollering and shouting into heaven with a shout of glory because everything's been great and I overcame it all. The book of Acts, we read a little story about the Apostle Paul who loved Jesus, who followed him no matter what, who was put in chains and put on board a ship to take to Rome. And remember, it was getting on to wintertime. And remember, the Apostle Paul says, you guys, you're going to have trouble on the boat. Yeah. There's going to be trouble. And he was a prophet, wasn't he? There was trouble. The storms came. One of the times of year, this kind of certain storm came up, and the boat was battered, and the boat was torn, and the boat, it was terrible, and some of the ship's people were going to escape, and the Apostle Paul said, don't let anybody go. Man, oh man, can you imagine that kind of word? What do you mean, don't let anybody? He says, don't let anybody go. If these people escape, none of us are going to make it. We're all going to be okay. And then remember what it says, they hadn't eaten for 14 days or so, and Paul says, all of a sudden he comes out one day, it's, you can almost see Paul leaning on the deck, eating an apple, and saying, it's going to be okay, guys. And how would you not think he was crazy? And he says, listen, the Lord showed up. He says, it's all going to be okay. We're all going to be all right. And then, just to prove it, the storm got worse. Anybody in your life, the storm got a little worse? The ship was battered and torn and broken up, got stuck in the sandbar, and all of a sudden the waves started rushing in. And Paul says, overboard, swim for your lives. You'll all be okay. And they're all going, yeah, right, I can't swim. That's next for you to say. Grab a board of the boat. And they did. And every one of them got to shore. And how many of you know the Bible tells us that when Paul got to shore, he started dancing and whooping and hollering and saying, thank God, just like I said. No. You know what I think? Use a little holy imagination. I bet Paul was tossed by those waves and he was probably a bit bruised and he went in and he probably did like everybody else did. That kid hit the sand, collapsed on his face, and thank God he heard right. But do you realize that that storm got Paul exactly where he belonged?
Amen. That's right.
Wow. Exactly. And the Apostle Paul was used by Jesus to reach an entire island with the gospel and the good news. And sometimes we think, I don't know if I could make it through this storm. I don't know if I can do this. And God, if you're in it, how come I feel abandoned? How come I'm going through the storm like everybody else? How come I'm jumping in the waves? And how come the foam's coming over me? And how come, oh, I grabbed a board and there was a nail in that board? You go, you know, you freeze up, oh, just my luck. God says, hang on. I'm going to get you to shore. And now we're old enough in our lives to look back and look at some of the tests and we say, but God's been faithful. Because sometimes, like the title of this message, life is really the successful mess. Would you stand with me, please? If the Lord has spoken to your heart from the Word of God this morning, I urge you, understand how much He loves you, even when you don't get it. He's got you. If you need time in prayer together, there'll be several of us right up here to pray for you. And we will be happy to do so and honored to do so. He loves you so much. even when life is a mess and it doesn't feel successful, you keep walking with Jesus. And we'll make it through this successful mess and become more like Him in the process. Is that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Lord, we surrender our lives to You again today, and we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, for doing what we don't always get, for being so good. We love You, Lord. And all the people said,
Amen.